Hey, welcome to Hope City's podcast. We're so excited that you chose to listen to us, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
We're beginning a new series today in the next couple of weeks. We're going to be talking about vicious cycles in our lives, where literally if you look at your life and there's cycles that happen, we can look at life and it seems like we're going around the same mountain time and time and time again. And I want to talk today, and we're going to talk in the next couple of weeks, of how to break out of those cycles. Because those cycles keep us in a prison. Those cycles keep us with the chains on. They can be hard to break, but cycles keep us stuck also. Okay? They can cause a lot of destruction in our life, and they really can be pretty vicious. They're difficult to change. To break cycles, we have to do things completely different than what we've always done them. And I think that if you're wanting to see freedom and you're wanting to see a break from the cycle, there's freedom that comes when we say, okay, I am done with the cycles. I'm not taking this cycle anymore. What is a cycle? The cycle is this. The dictionary says it's a series of events that are regularly repeated in the same order. Very simply, it's doing the same thing repeatedly and expecting different results. How many of you know Albert Einstein actually said that's the definition of insanity? The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over and over again and expecting different results. And that's how we get into cycles in our lives. And I believe that God is really calling us to experience exponentially more by breaking out of those cycles that we've found ourselves in the past and maybe even where we're at right now. And cycles can go back a long time in our lives. And families, they can go back for generations. You can look at families like people that have struggled with alcoholism. Literally, it can be a cycle of alcoholism in every generation. And today, I'm telling you, we can break those cycles. We can break those cycles. Man, you can look back in your family and see just a whole line of divorces. Well, you can be the generation that breaks that. Just because it's happened in the past does not mean it has to happen in the future. We are cycle breakers, and God helps us with that. It's so important to realize those cycles that happen in our lives. And I'm so thankful that God will help us to change our mindsets and our actions and the way that we're walking through life so that we can break those cycles if we'll allow him to. I'm so thankful the Holy Spirit is here to help us. And I say vicious because they're painful, they're challenging, they keep us stuck, they cause a ton of destruction in our lives. And today God is calling us to begin a new moment in our lives. The Israelites in the book of Deuteronomy are a great example of a vicious cycle. If you go back to the book of Deuteronomy, you know that the Israelites had been set free from the land of Egypt, where they'd been in captivity. They got to the Red Sea, and they crossed that Red Sea. And the journey from Egypt, which was their captivity, to the Promised Land was supposed to be 11 days. 11 days to cross that and get into what God had promised them. But they fell into a vicious cycle of complaining, of disobedience, and unbelief. And that journey that was supposed to last 11 days ended up taking 40 years. And literally, they would go around the same mountain day after day after day. They were in a vicious cycle of unbelief, of disobedience, of not believing God for who he said he was going to be. God had proven himself to them over and over and over again, but they still went back to the past. Some people would say that they got out of Egypt, but the Egypt didn't get out of them. They viewed themselves as captives. They viewed themselves, and I love what they said today in that song, where we literally can take the chains off and we walk out of that prison. But it's very interesting because it was such a vicious cycle that not one person who left Israel would be going into the Promised Land. That was the cost that cycle cost those people as they went around the mountain time and time and time again. And here's the challenge. We walk around the same mountain in our own lives time and time and time and time again. And what is that costing you? What promised land is that keeping you from? And what's sad, these cycles keep us stuck. They literally keep us from experiencing what God has for us. Part of breaking out of these cycles is allowing Jesus to come in and to bring healing to brokenness in your life. I think some cycles are fueled by brokenness, where if you experience deep pain and deep hurt and you go back to that same spot time and time again, it's not fun, it's not great, but it's comfortable. And we become comfortable in that cycle. And I'm asking you and I'm telling you, begin to pray in this series, God, help me to break out of any cycles that I'm in. I don't want to go back anymore. I only want to move forward. Because, see, a cycle just keeps you in that same pattern. You never, ever break out of it and move forward. I want to ask you a really tough question. I've heard some believers say, well, I'm just in a wilderness time in my life. Are you in that wilderness time because it's a cycle? Just like the Israelites, are you going around that same mountain time and time and time again? Sometimes we go, God, where are you in this wilderness? He said, I'm right here. I'm trying to break you out of this cycle. It's time to get out of the wilderness. What vicious cycle are you choosing to continue to keep you in that wilderness? And I've got good news. Jesus came to set us free from that cycle. We're currently looking at the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5 and 6. And one of the things Jesus came to do was set people free from vicious cycles. And he was very honest. He laid it out, and it caused people to lose their mind because he challenged them in some very specific ways. As we dive into Matthew 6, 19 through 34 in this series, he's going to dig into some areas that really keep us stuck. He speaks to our finances, what we allow to our mind, the worry, stress, anxiety, serving two masters and more. And what we see is Jesus says, this is the way you're living, but I have a better way, and I will break you out of that cycle, and I will give you freedom and hope. In fact, some of the stress and anxiety and worry that we're facing in our lives today is because we're caught up in vicious cycles. And God wants to bring us freedom from those cycles. Part of breaking out of the cycle requires us to do things God's way. There's man's way and there's God's way. And I'm amazed at how many people can read God's word and totally disregard it. They read his word and they go, well, I know God's word says this, but I'm going to do it my way. It's going to keep you in the cycle. And what I'm challenging you to do is to take God's word, take it at his face, believe what God is saying, and do what it says. Because when you do what God's word says, you will break out of the cycles. Read God's word. Don't ignore what he says. Be obedient. Some people think, well, somehow this doesn't apply to me. I can read about it, but I don't want to do what he's telling me to do. It's going to keep you stuck in a cycle. I hear all kinds of excuses of why people don't follow God's word, but excuses are part of the cycle. You're in a cycle because you're making excuses. And what God is saying is, put away all the excuses. Excuses don't bring you freedom. Following God's word and being obedient will bring you freedom. Listen to what James 1:22 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are fooling yourself. It's really quiet in here today. Don't just listen to his word. In America, every one of us has access to the word. Every one of us, we can pull it up on our phones. We have more access to the word than ever before. And I see more people doing exactly opposite of what the Bible says. And they're in stress. They're worried. They're full of anxiety. Don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourself. So, not only hearing, but doing. One big area of our life that we can get stuck in is our treasures. Okay? Matthew 6, 19 through 21. What are our treasures? Our time, our talent, and our finances. Okay? So when Jesus says our treasures, that's what he's talking about. Your time, your talent, and your finances. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moths eat them and destroy them. And where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moths and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, there the desire of your heart will be also. Jesus spoke this and he talked about our treasures. The Bible has a lot to say, goes very in depth in our about our lives and gives us great direction on how to create healthy patterns and habits that will help us create life-giving cycles in our lives, especially when it comes to our time, our talent, and our treasures. I think that financial stress is one of the biggest stresses that there is in America today. Latest stats say 70% of people are stressed about their finances. And here's what I want you to know. When you line yourself up with God's word, when it comes to your time, your talent, your finances, you will not have to be stressed because you're having his help. He's going to walk beside you. You don't have to be stressed. Here's what the world's idea is. It's always more, 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 more. Okay, you get a job, you get a bunch of toys, then you get stressed about them and you work more, and then you work more, and then you buy more toys. It's this constant cycle. Vicious cycle of never having enough, never feeling content. The world's idea is always more. It's why so many people today feel like they're in the middle of a grind. And here's what the world cycle looks like. It's like you get that job, you get your stuff, and it's just this constant cycle. And I want to tell you, finances will never bring contentment. You might say, well, if I only had more money. If you only had more money, you'd spend more money. Money is not the answer. Having more is not the answer. Lining yourself up with God, with what God has to say with your time, your talents, and your treasures, that's the answer. Why is America in the most debt we've ever been in? Because people have tried to use money to fill, and they realize that they get the stuff and they're not content. It makes them more stressed than ever. The pressure and the stress is crazy. America is also at the point where there's so much stress, anxiety, worry, and fear. I want to tell you something. You can't lose sight of this fact when you talk about treasures. You can always make more money, but you can't make more time. Time is the greatest treasure that you have. What are you doing with your time? If you're spending all your time running after making money, you could be missing out. Time is the greatest resource that you have. Where are you investing the best of your time, your talents, and finances? Because a lot of times in America, God gets all the last of that. He gets the last of our time. He gets the last of our treasures. He gets the last of our talent. If I can fit God into my schedule because I'm so busy trying to make this vicious cycle of making money, and God is saying it's time to get out of the cycle and do things my way. Do you have the world's perspective when it comes to investing your time, your talent, and finances, or do you have God's perspective? If you feel like you're in a vicious cycle when it comes to your treasures, today's message is for you. You don't have to grind it out anymore. If you're always looking at your checkbook going, I don't have enough, could it be that you're putting your treasures here on earth versus in heaven? Breaking out of this vicious cycle. Now, some of you might, and I know people get really uptight. Well, why do they have to talk about money in church? Why do they have to talk about, I want to tell you something, that the world is constantly talking to you about money. Everywhere you go, when you step out of these four walls, that's all you hear about, where you're going to spend your money. The advertisers on Facebook to try to, like, the world talks to you about it all the time. So I would be a terrible pastor if we're not talking about it here. Because God has a completely different way. And I want to tell you, when you step out into the world's way of thinking, that's where this whole vicious cycle begins. So what does God's word have to say about our finances, about our time, and about our treasures? In Matthew 6, 19 through 21, Jesus gives us a completely different way to look at our treasures and how to invest those. And I will tell you this, if you will follow God's word when it comes to your time, your talents, and treasures, you're going to see freedom, you're going to see God do incredible things, you're going to see him take your resources and do way more than what you could do if you were trying to do it on your own. Just the stress and worry is off your shoulders, because I want to tell you, the world's way of doing things puts it all on you. When you say, God, I trust you, and I'm going to step out of my time, my talents, and treasures, what you're saying is, I'm giving it back to you, God. You're in control, and I trust you. I trust you. I want to challenge you, step out and be obedient today. Take this message and say, okay, God, where am I investing my talents and my time and my finances? I want to share a couple of points on this idea. First of all, point number one, what fuels this vicious cycle that we're talking about in our treasures? Do you feel like you never have enough? Are you worried when it comes to your finances? Are you stressed out? Are you being kept up at night? Maybe you're just waiting for another shoe to drop. You're like, okay, I'm just waiting for the next thing to happen. Here's what I want you to know. When you put your trust on God and your finances, there's not another shoe that's going to drop. God's going to take care of you. You don't have to worry about the future, okay? My question is, how do you feel? How are you investing that treasure? Maybe you're in the spot where you're just drained financially, or it seems like this is this vicious cycle, or in your time you're exhausted. Do you know one of the things that we do in this world that fuels this vicious cycle is we don't take our Sabbath. It's one of those important things that God tells us when it comes to, it's a Ten Commandment. To take time out to rest. And my wife's giving me the eye because I struggle with this, all right? It's hard to take time out to rest. But I want to tell you something. When we approach things with a heart of rest because we're trusting God, it's where we break out of this. My question is, where are you investing this treasure? And here is what really fuels this vicious cycle. It's this, Matthew 6, 19. Don't store up your treasures here on earth where moths eat them and rust destroys them and where thieves break in and steal. If you're treasures are being invested here on earth, just be prepared that the moss will eat them, the rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. And here's how this plays out in our life. I never have enough. I feel like I'm always in this vicious cycle of trying to get more. Could it be that because you're investing in this earth, what Jesus said, that that's what's happening? You don't have enough. If your treasures are stored up here on this earth, they'll be eaten, they'll be destroyed. That's that vicious cycle where there's never enough and you feel like you constantly have to be running for more. That's what fuels this. You'll never experience it. See, what I'm talking about is peace and contentment. What I'm talking about is you not going through your whole life being so worried that you end at the end of your life and go, where did my life go? I can tell you this, if all you do is invest your talents into making more money, you will be empty. You'll end up empty. You'll never experience the peace and contentment, and this vicious cycle will continue to rob and steal from you. But when we follow point number two, when we store up our treasures in heaven, here's what happens. Jesus went on to share, these are the keys. Invest in our treasures in a way that will bring contentment and peace. And first of all, I think you've got to understand, and we have to come to this point, that every treasure you have is God's first. Every talent you have, God gave you. Don't ever get into the mindset, well, I'm building this big business because I'm so wonderful. Really? Who gave you the ability to build a business? Who gave you favor to get a job? Who opened the doors for you to have a job? It's God. It all came from Him. And somehow we think we are the ones that did it. Well, I went to school for 25 years, and it's my education. So, no, God gave you the ability to go to school to begin with. It's not about you. It's about what God has blessed you with. And so realize everything you are, everything you own, it all belongs to Him. And so when you look at it from that perspective, it takes the big pressure off your shoulders. Because if you're trusting God in that way, what you're saying is, God, when it's time for a new job, you're going to supply the need. I don't have to worry about it. If my company's merged, God, you have me under control. Some of you are so fearful to go back to work tomorrow because it's rested on your shoulders. And if you'll stop and you'll say, God, it all belongs to you. He becomes your provider. It doesn't just rest on your shoulders. Stop taking on the credit and let him have the way in your life to be able to lift that off your shoulders. It all belongs to Him. So when it all belongs to Him, we can follow what God tells us to do. And Matthew 6:20 says this, store your treasures in heaven where moss and rust cannot destroy and thieves do not break in and steal. So what does it look like to store our treasures in heaven? First of all, in your talent. Your talent, giving every bit of talent that you have to Him. And for us, we're able to use talent in a church body. When you have talent, man, if you can play the keys, get up here and play the keys. If you can sing, after we check if you can sing, get up here and sing. Whatever your talent is, if you're good at changing diapers after your background check, get back there and change diapers. Nobody laughed on that one. If you're, yeah, we had seven little infants in littles in first service. Our church is growing. We love it. Keep having more kids. Oh, yeah. Your talent was not given, though, to move you in life. God uses that to open up doors for you. But any talent you have, make sure you're serving Him with it first. God, what do you want me to do with my talent? And the most natural way that we can use the talents God's given us is here in this church body. Don't sit on the sidelines. If you have talent, use it for Him first. I promise you, if you'll use your talent for Him, you'll get to the end of your life and you'll be so content. You won't be empty. Some of us, we're using our talents to build other people's businesses, and we're empty, and we find no joy in that. And what I'm telling you is use your talents to build up the kingdom of God and to fill heaven. Because here's what lasts, bringing as many people to heaven as we possibly can with us. God gave you those talents to fill His kingdom, not your pocketbook. It means laying every talent you have and saying, God, I give you, stop giving the world the best of your talents. Start using it for the kingdom. How about your time? Ooh, get ready. If you have sandals on, you might want to pull your toes back. There are people who fill in their calendar and then try to fit God in all around it. God, you get the last. You get the last of who I am. Truthfully, we spend a lot of our time doing things that won't matter in the long run. How do you spend your time? And here's where I'm going to go. The average American goes to church once every 6 weeks. Because church is the same thing. It's not blocked off on their calendar. It's not something that they do. If something better comes along, they'll miss church any day of the week. And church is where we get connected. People wonder why they're not connected. They wonder why they feel like they're getting attacked like crazy. And my first question is, what are you doing with your time? Make God a priority. Make being here a priority. Because life change happens here. This is where you do life with people. If you feel disconnected, and in fact, it's interesting to me, as church attendance goes down in the United States, more people feel disconnected. It's very interesting. If you feel disconnected, get here. Don't, and I promise you, if you give the enemy your calendar, he'll fill you up so full that you never get here. There'll always be something better to do. What do you use your time? Are your margins so full there's no room for God? Here's what Hebrews 10:25 says. Again, this is what the Bible says. And so when you look at this scripture, you can ignore it, but ignore it at your own peril. Let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Don't miss week after week. Make it a priority. I heard a statement the other day. Some people said, I'm not even going to go there. I'm going to keep moving. Because I'll put it on my Facebook. Look at there and see it. There should be non-negotiable things on your calendar. And being here, especially if you have kids, needs to be a non-negotiable. Because you know, we neglect God, and then we wonder why our kids grow up to neglect God. It's a non-negotiable. Finances. Woo, he's meddling today. The Bible's very clear when it comes to our finances and what it looks like to invest our finances in heaven. Here's an interesting thing. Guess how many scriptures talk about money? 2,350 throughout the Bible. God talks to us a lot about our money. Nobody can say that God didn't tell us what to do. And I'm not talking that we get this into this religious thing, because it's not an issue of salvation. Salvation, you believe and you're saved. What I'm talking about is life and life more abundantly. What I'm talking about is a way to get rid of your stress, anxiety, fear, and worry. There's a lot of Christians I see that are stressed and worried and full of anxiety, and they're in this vicious cycle, and I'm calling you to step out of that. Here's what the Bible says, though. And listen, we don't need your money. God's going to supply our needs here, so that's not what I'm talking about, but you need God's blessing. And in our finances, especially, this is where that cycle can get so vicious. But if you'll do what God tells you to do, if you'll say, God, I trust you with my finances, they're yours to begin with, and I'll be obedient to follow what your word says, it is amazing what God can do. In fact, I'll tell you this, what God can do with your 90% when you give him 10 is much farther than what you could do with 100%. Because it's the difference of when you're obedient and you're saying, God, I trust you in my finances. I'm going to be obedient to what you say. That's where moth and rust cannot destroy, because you're investing in heaven. It's interesting to me that the world will tell you all day long about what you need to do with your finances, and we don't listen to what God's word says. So here's what God's word says about our finances. It's in Malachi. Malachi 3, 8 through 12 says this, should people cheat God? Yet you've cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You've cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are now under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. Okay, I didn't write this. This is in Malachi. This is right from the Bible. And I think this is where people ignore some of this. And I'm challenging you not to. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse. Your storehouse is where you come to be fed here at Hope City, so that there'll be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven armies, listen to this promise. I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. It's the only time in Scripture where you see that God says, put me to the test. Okay? Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from all insect and diseases. Your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven, Lord of heaven's armies. Isn't it interesting? Because Malachi dealt with what Jesus was saying. Like, listen, the moths and they will not be able to destroy it. The rust will not. When you invest in the kingdom, but you have to step out. And here's so much of the time. We want the blessing of living under an open heaven, and we want all of that, but we're not stepping out. You have to step out first to experience that. And what God asked you to give is between you and him. But I want to challenge you. Line up your finances with what God is saying, because that is what breaks you out. Generosity breaks you out of this incredible, vicious cycle of not having enough. Many Christians are missing out on the blessings today that come from giving and generosity. And there's an incredible blessing that God promises us. And when we invest in his kingdom, again, there will be people in heaven because of what you did to invest in his kingdom. That's the only thing you can take with you. Your bank account, you don't take it with you. The cash underneath your mattress, you don't take it with you. The only thing we take with us is the people around us. Point number three, and I think this is the biggest issue that Jesus deals with when it comes to our treasures, is it's a heart issue. At the end of the day, the Israelites did not trust God enough to say, here's our treasures. And Matthew 9:21 says this, wherever your treasure is, there the desires of your heart will be also. Where is your heart today? And you can always tell because you look at what you're investing your time, your talents, and your treasures into. Are you caught up in this vicious cycle of always running after more and feeling like you're in the middle of a grind that's stealing your peace and contentment? Is your heart troubled and full of stress? With the Israelites, they literally circled that mountain for over 40 years, and the issue is they did not trust God. Even when God showed up, God has showed up for many of you, and sometimes we still have a hard time trusting him. And here's what I'm challenging you. How you invest your treasure is a good indication of where your heart is. So as you live with this and you go home today and you go home this week, ask God that question. God, where am I at in lining up my life with you when it comes to my time, my talents, and my treasure? Lord, am I doing what you asked me to do? And some of you, I said this vicious cycle, and you know right away. You're right in the middle of it. Like you're losing sleep at night. You don't have peace. You're worried about your bank account. All of that stuff goes away when you trust God and say, God, I trust you. I'm not saying you're gonna have $1 million in the bank. But what I'm saying is every need will be met. Every need will be met when you trust him in the area of your treasures. And that's why I'm saying if you want exponentially more this year, step out of this cycle. God, I'm stepping out of this cycle, and I'm going to trust you. I'm going to do something different. And for some, it's a big step. It's a challenging step because the enemy wants you to keep you where you're comfortable. And today I'm saying step out of that and trust him.
Thank you again for joining us. We want to give a special shout out to those who pour into the mission here at Hope City. If you want to give to what we're doing, you can find us at myhopecity.church/give. Again, we are so excited that you chose to join us, and we hope you have a great rest of your day.